Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. We are live in Vegas, Championship Week, Circa Resort Casino, and this show is brought to you by ProfitX. And right now, King of March is giving you a shot at free trips worth up to $10,000 just for betting the tournament. Download the ProfitX app and use the code VSINMM. We have a couple of title games tonight in college basketball, and we have three different conferences, Pauly, that are knee-deep all the way into their semis already. The Sun Belt title game is wild. Georgia Southern is playing their sixth game in 6 days. That's the kind of run that they went on in this tournament. We were asking about big pride. I didn't even look.
Tripp's tweet's incredible. 62-1 after they had won two games.
So what were they, 400-1?
Oh, a one against a 10. This is sports. Anything can happen. As I referenced earlier, ask Navy. But Troy has got to win this game. You get a buy into the semis. You played yesterday. These guys are playing the sixth day in a row. You have the number one 3-point defense in the league. They're 31% on the season from three. You think fatigue's got to set in. They're going to have a problem with the jump shots, and the legs aren't going to be there. You're the best team for a reason. You got to win this game. But this is why we love sports. If they're able to think, if they're able to do this, you've referenced 5 in 5 days. But 6 wins in 6 days would be incredible here.
Yeah, and by the way, money on Georgia Southern. It was down to 5 a little bit earlier. They played back on January 24th. Troy was laying 4.5 in that game, and they won it 83-78. They covered that game by the hook. The SoCon title game, Furman takes on East Tennessee State.
No respect for the one seed.
And what do you think of this now?
It's a one seed against a 6. The one seed is a 1.5-point favorite. They had their scare yesterday. They were down double digits in the second half, came back to win. They would be a 14 seed, according to Joe Lunardi, if they get in. They've won a game in the tournament before. I think they win.
Did you bet them?
No. I think they, because I'm so shook after what's happened the last 3 days here. Nothing makes sense. Look at the Coastal. I mean, for the 1 and 2 seeds.
Right.
Remember, going into this year, you read Blue Ribbon or all these various experts, they said Wilmington was going to be the best mid-major. And they started off great, and then they had a great regular season, had a couple losses late, and they just got manhandled in a quarterfinal game. It doesn't make sense.
You remember I know you do. I'm going to bring it up anyway. Remember that East Tennessee State team with Mr. Jennings?
He was good.
How good they were?
Yeah.
I think we were in middle school back then. I picked them to win the tournament that year. I think it was early 90s. I thought, I know much more than anybody else in my class about college basketball.
Halfway there.
I'm taking this. Yeah, they got bounced in the first round that one year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
What was the year they won a couple games? It wasn't that long ago they won a game.
No, I know.
Mr. Jennings didn't win?
I don't. That one year when they came in with all that hype, I think they got bounced in the first round.
Okay.
It's like, I don't think I'm over Harold Miner and USC losing to James Force and Georgia Tech at the buzzer.
Right.
I love that. Harold Miner, first of all, was one of my favorites.
Well, I think you're saying the one argument is you have to trust the one seed and take the one seed on principle because they're playing like a 6 or a 10 or a 7. It's like Wright State. Wright State, the one seed against Northern Kentucky, the 7. Oh. And in some spots, Northern Kentucky opened the favorite. Maybe the books are telling you something.
Yeah, this one to me is way too fishy. Again, right away, I'm looking. I'm like, okay, Wright State went 15-5 in conference play. They swept Northern Kentucky. The Norse, meanwhile, were 10-10 in league play. And yet Northern Kentucky is a shorter shot to win the conference than Wright State. And, oh, by the way, they open up the favorite. Now, a little bit of money here on Wright State. It's, again, right around the money line, so not the biggest deal ever, but I think that's telling you something here. And it certainly put me off Wright State. I'm not going to bet them now.
Yep. Adam Burke likes Bob Morris. Good write-up, a good article, VSiN.com. Mercy was a trending pick coming in. That's the other semifinal. Robert Morris laying 4.5 tonight.
And the one bet that I have in pocket so far, Towson takes on Hofstra, CAA semifinals. I have Hofstra -3.5 in pocket.
Yep.
They won the first game when they played back in early January, 78-67. They took care of business a second time around when they were laying 4. They won that game 71-49. So it's double revenge for Towson, but Greg Peterson makes Hofstra 6.5. And this is what he wrote today at VSiN.com, that Towson has been unable to get anything going from 3. They rank 350th in 3-point shooting percentage at 29%. Hofstra is 16th in road 3-point shooting percentage at 38.1%. stout on the inside, third in the country in opponent two-point shooting percentage. And though Towson ranks 64th in the country in points per possession allowed on defense, they are giving up 14.3 points per possession more away from home than they are at home overall. I think that there's a chance here that Hofstra's just a much better team.
Huge difference in Torvik's numbers. Big difference. And they should win. Lenardi has them a 14 if they win the conference tournament.
Okay.
He has Wright State a 15. Torvik numbers, Hofstra 91, Townsend 175. He has Georgia Southern 228 in his rankings. And the big one tonight out here, I think you have to take the points with Santa Clara. If you lose, so be it. But I know for sure you have the more desperate team and the team that needs it. They are in the tournament if they win. Joe Lenardi has them last four in. Santa Clara, SMU, VCU, Auburn. Last team in. 2-8 in their last 10. But that's the thing. All these teams lost over the weekend. So, in 15 losses, nobody can complain.
I had a decent-sized bet on the over in that game on Saturday night. I watched almost all of it. I'm sorry. That team stinks.
Yep. How about Pearl? We beat Florida. Okay. It's nice free. Nice job. But it's 4 months here of playing.
Yeah, no kidding.
Resume. It's not just we have the best win. We deserve to be in. We have the best win. You got 15 losses and bad losses all over the place.
Yeah, I think, again, I don't want to overreact from one game. There's also, just based on what I was watching, like every second of that game, their coach was completely, Pearl's kid, absolutely lost. You're playing, you have to throw everything at this team to win that game and, you know, obviously add another one on the, another pelt on the wall, if you will, to make your resume look better. There was zero sense of urgency until like the final 3 minutes of the game. Terrible job out of that coaching staff and by that team on Saturday night.
You know what I'm actually rooting for? I'm rooting for Bid Thieves so we don't get some of this trash in.
I don't want that team anywhere near the tournament.
Yeah,
by the way.
That's also good news it shouldn't be a conversation. Oh, you nailed it, by the way. Lenardi says no worse than a 10 seed. And if they win the MAC 8-9 game, your conspiracy theory with Miami of Ohio.
Okay.
They go undefeated. They'll stick them in the 8-9 to get them out.
To get them out early?
Yeah. That's what Lenardi said.
They'll bump them up a little bit so they can...
Bump them up. You're better off being a 10 or an 11.
Right.
So it's what could their seed be? And we mentioned Mike DeCourcy was on the show. He has them an 8 seed now that they finally won and completed the regular season undefeated. He says no worse than a 10 and is on the 8-9 line if they win the MAC tournament. This is absolute trash what's left here with all these teams losing and who's being considered. Having said that, though, this benefits Santa Clara, where I still think they're in if they lose tonight. They split with St. Mary's. They're 25-7. Torvik has them 28th. St. Mary's 23rd. St. Mary's 27-4. St. Mary's laying 4.5. But the thing that also will concern me here, 16 of the last 17 years in this tournament, the one has played the two. In the championship game.
I'll tell you that we don't live that far from the arena. It's a great spot to watch college basketball. That is a tempting game to go to tonight. And I'll say this.
Definitely in. They're in if they win. Yeah. Great game.
If St. Mary's wins tonight and we get St. Mary's Gonzaga for the last time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be special.
Oh, that place is going to be awesome. By the way, you called it. And thanks to Mark on X, East Tennessee State beat Arizona in a 14-3 matchup back in 1992.
Oh, that's okay.
They got him 87-80. Hard to believe, Arizona. 30 years later, same thing's happening. Losses a 2 or 3 seed.
One NBA game, good one tonight. Clippers at home against the Knicks. Knicks blasted last night against the Lakers. Lakers did a good job defensively, got off to a big lead. See if the Clippers respond, or the Knicks respond. They were so good Friday in Denver. I think they bounce back.
I think so,
because the
too.
Clippers are back off that road trip. Why does this happen with the blown leads? The Clippers blew a 25-point lead in the third quarter, and you are right. It's the fourth time in Division I history somebody lost a 30-point lead. What happened Saturday with Richmond? Is it the three-point play in the very?
It has to be.
Bombs away from
three?
I don't know. But it happened twice, back-to-back days. But there's one future bet. I think the Knicks win tonight. Kawhi Leonard's playing out of his mind.
Oh, he's so good right
and
now.
And getting Garland back and in the Mathurin trade, Clippers are playing well.
Make the playoffs?
They are. Right. Here's how I would attack it. because they have the fifth easiest schedule left. Fifth easiest. I'm strong on this. They will have a better record than the Golden State Warriors. And that means I will get two opportunities to win one game, meaning I have to win one game, I'm in the playoffs. They're $1.10 to make the playoffs at DraftKings. I will be higher than the Warriors. I will have a better record than the Blazers. I will get two chances to win one game, which will cash that ticket, and you won't have to wait long with the play-in. So $1.10 is available for the Clippers to make the playoffs. They are playing well, and Kawhi's been out of his mind.
Could not have gone worse this weekend for Charlotte Hornets division futures.
Oh, no.
Oh, absolutely demoralizing beginning on Friday night with the fourth quarter blown lead.
They went from minus 280 to now plus money to make the playoffs.
Oh, they have
to.
Yeah, sure.
The Heat now won six in a row.
And Red Hot. Tyler Hero got him on Friday night.
Couldn't stop Tyler Hero. Oh, that was demoralizing.
I just was...
Everyone's hyping them up. They're playing
sure.
so well. They're just better at on the road. I don't know what it is.
And then they lost
they have a losing
Phoenix
record at home.
They scored like 40 points in the second half last night.
Yeah.
Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX. ProfitX is King of March, gives you a shot at free trips worth up to $10,000. And with 10 pregame spreads or totals across the tournament, hit your volume goal and you're in. $1,000 in volume enters you for a $5,000 trip, $10,000 enters you for a $10,000 trip. Flights, hotels, your choice of destination, all on ProfitX. And every additional 10 wins gets you back in the running. Download the app, use code VSINMM, and compete to become the King of March only on ProfitX. As we continue here on Follow the Money, it's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. It's March, which means the madness is officially upon us, and the folks at VSiN have gone crazy with this one. For $29.99, you get unlimited access to VSiN Pro through May 1st. I'm talking picks throughout the tournament, public betting data for every single game, sharp tools, projections, articles, and more. There's already a ton up on the site for Championship Week, which means every day you wait is an opportunity missed. Just click the link in the description to get started. It's March, baby. Now back to the show.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
So Mike Palm, Derek Stevens, and Circa put on their annual college basketball March Madness Blackjack Tournament beginning last Thursday, concluded with the final round in the draft on Saturday. I was in it this weekend. I think it was the only person from VSiN in it. I think they had me in because I'm the defending champ from last year. I had Florida number 2 overall last year.
I wanted to see, was anyone going to step out just because the one seeds are so good? And as Lenardi has said, there's a big gap between the 1 and the 2s.
Well, okay, so you're exactly right. And with that in mind, I had to have a goal, like I think anybody else involved in this tournament.
And UConn had already lost before the draft. Too.
Yes, correct. They lost to Marquette.
Yeah.
So my goal, going back to Thursday, was to get into the top 4.
Yeah.
Because I firmly believe only 4 teams, and I really believe it's 2, but I think 4 can win it, and that's it. Like, that's the list. So I had first of all, one of my rounds, you get 21 hands of blackjack here.
You don't realize how hard it is and why they, like the saying is, these buildings don't build themselves. When you play in these tournaments, it's like, no wonder why no one wins at blackjack. It's because you just, oh, she got 21 again. Oh, she got, I mean, how many times have you been in these and you look up and the table's empty? Like, what happened? Oh, she just got blackjack.
It happened this weekend again.
It's unbelievable. You think, hey, someone's got to do well. No.
Here's the example. It was the second round on Friday. In 21 hands, the dealer had 6 blackjacks.
No.
6! And yet, outside of that, the table had like, it was a pretty good round. And if she would have had 2, we would have absolutely crushed it. And then in round 3, that was also on Friday, I got bounced and the guy eliminated me in 8 hands. So I got 0 chips that round, right?
My God.
And so it was my 8th hand. I had a 9 showing against a deuce, I believe. And I had like more, and you get 5,000 chips to begin with.
Dealer's ace. What do you talk? Hard to go against that, too. It seems like they never bust when they got a 2.
So anyway, have to, this is the way I play these tournaments. I get more aggressive as I've been more of them.
Uh-huh.
You need to take advantage of as many double down or split opportunities as possible. People have told me they've doubled down on blackjack before. I'm just the messenger. It's because they, so I doubled that. So I'm all in at that point. I had like 4,000 out there, right? Five card 21 to eliminate me. So I got credit for zero. I bounced back on Saturday with a nice round. I finished sixth. On my last hand, I had a 7 against a 4. And I had 3,000 on the table. Now, doing the math in my head, I thought to myself, okay, now if I double down this and win 6,000 on my last hand, I have a chance to get into the top four. I think I would have finished fifth overall still. If I double down and lose, I finish outside the top eight. So to me, is it worth it? I said, no, I would have won had I doubled down. So I finished sixth overall. But here's, like, so many people had great rounds. So many people finished with more than 30,000 chips, which I don't think has ever happened before. And there was talk, the guy, by the way, it was wire-to-wire job. Jonathan, who won it, he lives in Beverly Hills.
Oh!
He had like 26,000 after day one, and he led the entire way. There were rumblings before the draft that he was taking UConn number one. He didn't do it, though.
Wow, the loss probably, yeah.
Probably.
Damn,
and
really?
He took Florida overall, and the Gators were 6-1 at the time. So he has a $20,000 bet at 6-1 on the Gators. Who would you have taken number one overall? They were six.
Well, boy, that's tough. Probably Florida, Duke, or Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan was plus 295, Duke 3-1, Arizona plus 450.
What was the first one?
Michigan was plus 295.
Oh, wow. I would not have, no Michigan then.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, to me, Duke would have been tough to pass up.
Yeah.
But also, you're getting 6-1 compared to 3-1. So to me, it was between Duke and Florida, had I finished first, and I would have gone Florida because of that number.
Well, you did the right thing. There's because there's just a big drop off. But so, then how would you rank them? Because that goes back, like if you were picked outside the top five, then what? Iowa State. Illinois. I mean, you're, and then what's the price? Maybe you take a shot with St. John's. But what you did, I am stunned, and a lot of people are stunned what you did.
Well, because finished sixth. I don't think any team outside the top four can win. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but. So the person picking fifth, Michael, who listens and watches the show, Michael, great to meet you. He took UConn 16-1.
Mm-hmm.
So I was down to four teams. I was thinking in my head, St. John 75-1, and I have a $7,000 bet here that I won at the tournament. St. John's, Michigan State 40, and I was thinking Kansas because of the whole Peterson thing.
Sure.
I decided to go with Arkansas.
Come on, your buddy. Your buddy.
Everybody knows how much I love John Calipari. Oh, I'm an even bigger fan now.
Why?
At 45-1. Well, because, this was not in my head because of what they did at Missouri without Darius Acuff. But I just think that I'm so high on Acuff as a player that despite me thinking Calipari is not a good head coach, like his talent they have gone on deep runs before. Meaning, like, when he was at Kentucky and they would underachieve for the regular season. Come March Madness, all of a sudden, they're better in March. And they got dudes, man. And I think Acuff should be in the mix for the number one pick overall in the draft. That's how high I am in the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So at 45-1, that was one of my ultimate factors, the deciding factor, actually, over a team like Michigan State. Houston, I think, was another team. I don't know if I brought them up or not, but... And Houston went from 15-1 to 17-1. So I sat at the window for like a good minute thinking, oh man, maybe I should take them.
I like the UConn pick.
Five overall?
Because the guy's an unbelievable tournament coach. And they had Florida on the ropes last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
So anyway, I love the Hogs now all of a sudden.
All right.
And then there's this yesterday.
Did you think Gonzaga?
No, no chance.
No shot? Out?
No.
All right.
I didn't want them. I didn't want... you brought up Iowa State, didn't want them. I don't want Illinois. A team like Alabama, no way. Purdue, forget it. They suck.
Yeah. Was there a surprise later in the draft?
Wisconsin went. Our buddy Scotty Chibuka took Wisconsin eighth.
Wow.
That's a pretty big ticket.
Yes.
The guy who did not show up at 15 overall.
The guy didn't show up for the draft?
Nope. So by default, they give him the team with the lowest odds to win it. He got Illinois 15th. Like that late? Illinois? Okay.
Wow. That doesn't beat the Patriots story,
but no,
that's still pretty good.
No, that's the host who, the person who was, picking 27th, 28th, 29th, or whatever, wasn't there?
In August, the guy left early, didn't stay for the draft, and this host took him to the Patriots.
Yep.
Almost won the damn thing. So when what happened, what is this video we're going to see here?
Well, this is a photo, actually.
Okay.
So much like Chris Mastero's weekend, my last week, starting a week ago today, was an absolute roller coaster. Some of it was playing Ultimate X. So I had to make, I made a quick run to the grocery store yesterday, and I walk in and I notice that they have this gaming area. I'm like, huh, I'm going to see if they have Ultimate X.
A lot of places at the grocery store, they have huge progressives.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's everywhere you look here.
Hey, look, I mean, my bachelor party weekend, which you were a part of the entire time, got a suite. Steve Sear gave us a suite at the Hard Rock. It was
almost
amazing,
got shot.
Right?
Yep.
On the final night, Sunday night, my buddy Doug and I, he was driving me around. We went from gas station to gas station playing video poker.
I know a successful restaurant owner nicknamed the gas station gambler. He swears by it.
That, what? Is that his nickname?
Yeah, it's, yeah, the gas station gambler. He knows who he is. He's in Summerlin with a very successful restaurant.
Oh, great restaurant.
He plays gas station video poker.
Crazy.
It's incredible.
So I walk in. I'm like, if they got Ultimate X, I'm going to play here for 5 minutes. I sit down. I noticed, like, I wanted to go 10 play because I want as many hands as possible. They only have 5 cents.
That was my first question. Yeah, you're on a heater. What, 5 cents?
Yeah, I know. So, you know, that's it. So I had to play 5 cents. Anyway, yeah. 10 minutes in, I'm dealt 4 aces. And I have 2 different multipliers of 10 times on the screen. I'm thinking, even if this is 5 cents, I get a couple of kickers here. If one of those is a kicker, that's 20,000 credits. I got one up top, no multiplier.
Oh, after you got six.
After I got six on Super Bowl Sunday when I was dealt 4 aces.
But so, quarters, though, yep.
So that, I'm like, are you serious?
You went 1 for 10?
1 for 10 with the kicker.
Oh, brutal.
So I would never, ever complain, obviously, about getting 4 aces. I mean, my God, give me that once a day, and I'll be super happy. I got one, no multiplier. That's the bad news. The good news of playing 5 cents and it only being a 5 cent machine is that with the new $2,000 threshold for jackpots, it stayed under that. So no taxes have to come out. So I'm like,
yeah,
okay, that feels like a win-win, I guess.
Steven.
Yeah, exactly right. I'll take that.
There you go. Yep. Download the free Upside app, promo code NETWORK. Start earning real cash back. Hey, another reason to go to the grocery store. Gas and dining, play, hit a jackpot. Open the Upside app, get the cash back offer at a location near you. Shop as usual and earn real cash back. It's that easy. You can cash out directly to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. 5 million people use it and are already earning. One of the easiest ways to save on everyday purchases. Download the free Upside app now. Code NETWORK. 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank. Offers vary by user and location. Upside.com for details. Stuff you buy every day. Use it. Head to the location. Make your purchase and save. Groceries, gas, and dining. Find the offers near you. Upside app. Upside.com.
I did just that yesterday because I also got gas, and it's beautiful because you pull up the app on the phone.
Piece of cake. Easy.
And it gives you all the gas stations in the area. You're going to save this much, that much. If you go here, whatever. Bada bing, bada boom. And you get the rewards immediately. Up next, Adam Hill. He covers the Raiders out here in Las Vegas and a bunch of these conference tournaments played out here. We'll get his thoughts on the big trade Friday night and who he likes in some of these tourneys next.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Follow the Money is brought to you by ProfitX, and right now you could be winning a $5,000 or $10,000 trip during March Madness. Check out King of March and use the code VSiNMM. We head out now to the Progressive Guest Line. Adam Hill is the busiest human being in Las Vegas year-round, specifically this time of year. He covers the Raiders and college basketball tournaments out here this time of year for the Las Vegas Review-Journal on the Progressive Guest Line. Adam, a lot to get into here with you. Let's go back to Friday night and tie it into today. My God, it won't stop for the Raiders. Trading out Max Crosby on Friday night, 2 first-round picks. Today, the list, signing Tyler Linderbaum, Quay Walker, N'Kobe Dean, Jalen Naylor, Quiddy Pay, Eric Stokes, Malcolm Coutts, and they traded for Teron Johnson as well. Overall, a grade on the Raiders offseason so far.
Wow. I mean, I think overall, when you take everything into consideration, I think they're sitting at like an A, almost A plus. I mean, I think they've done everything they could. That starts with making sure they lost enough games to get the number one pick, obviously. trading away Max Crosby, who I don't think, you know, if you look at his where he's been, he won't take a playoff. I mean, the wear and tear on the body is crazy. 8 surgeries in 7 seasons. I don't think it's going to get any better. And this is not a team that's going to compete this year. Everything they do should be about 2027 and 2028. At that point, you're looking at like a 32-year-old Max Crosby. How much would he help you at that point? Probably not that much. You would think that, you know, the 2 first-round picks are going to help a lot more on the timeline that you're on. The fact that they were able to get 2 first-round picks for a disgruntled player who clearly didn't want to be here, they were able to keep everything quiet enough with that, you know, discord that they, you know, still were able to get 2 first-round picks. I mean, that's impressive. I think they're just doing things differently. And, you know, part of that is just John Spytek, who I thought was the right hire at general manager. He had to endure being paired with Pete Carroll last season. And, you know, that just didn't go well. They were on different timelines. And I thought a lot of what they did was geared toward what Pete Carroll wanted to do and try to win, as opposed to John Spytek, who wanted to build for the future. And now he's finally getting to do that. And I think you're seeing the results of that.
Okay. And the previous regime had a ton of issues. Your level of confidence that this regime nails the picks?
I have a lot of faith in John Spytek, as I was just saying, the general manager. I do think there's still some organizational issues, you know, in terms of some of the people that are in the front office and obviously what exactly is Tom Brady's role, who is making some decisions and has a lot of influence, but isn't here. So then he's got, you know, his eyes and ears in the building who are relaying information to him. Like, I don't think that's ideal. But I think John Spytek has been kind of handed the reins here. And as long as he's in charge and can do what he wants to do, I think they're going to be fine. I think you're seeing the results of that. If some of those guys step in and, you know, try to, you know, exercise influence, and obviously there's some new investors that have come in as well that are some, you know, very big money people that have stake now. As long as everybody stays out of John Spytek's way, I think they're going to be fine. And Kubiak was a good hire. We don't know exactly what he is as a head coach yet, but you know he's got a really good offense. So I think they're doing a lot of things right. They just need to stay out of the way of the people that make the football decisions.
What if that Godfather offer happens to come in for the number one pick? What would you do?
I mean, I'd trade it. I don't think there's any question I would trade it. A couple of things. One, like, I'm not completely sold on Fernando Mendoza, first of all. But in order to get that Godfather offer, somebody would have to be.
Yep.
And I just don't know if anybody else is either. I mean, I think you've heard it quiet because, you know, the Jets came out and said, well, you know, we're not even going to try because the Raiders kind of shut us down already. I just don't know if anybody is really that interested in him that they're going to, you know, try to blow the Raiders away. If they did, I think they'd have to listen. And I kind of think they would because I think they're responsible and smart about things. I mean, I was kind of envisioning a scenario the other day. Could you imagine if they were able to get three first-round picks the next 2 years? A couple teams have two. In the next couple of drafts, if they got 3 first-round picks, you know, they could potentially be looking at like 7, you know, well, 6, but 6 first-round picks the next 2 years, and next year having 3 or 4 of them when it could be a very historic quarterback class, including Arch Manning, I would have to think about that. I definitely would.
No, same here. Both of us do the same exact thing. So I don't want to get nuts and say playoffs or certainly division because it's loaded. But I am looking right now at the screen. Their win total is 5.5. Can they get to 6 wins next year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a lot of what they're doing right now, like a lot of will be determined by Mendoza, but they've already come out and said like they don't really want to start Mendoza right away. They don't really believe. I know Tom Brady has said that. John Spytek has said it. And even Kubiak kind of hinted at it when I talked to him in Indianapolis, that they prefer somebody else starting at quarterback and letting Mendoza sit. Now, who is that? Is it Aiden O'Connell? I don't know that I'm that excited, but he's competent at quarterback. I think if they bring in another veteran somewhere along the way, maybe you're looking at that. But, I mean, they're putting a lot of pieces in place here that I think can be successful. And, you know, if Mendoza's great and he's on the field, that's one thing. But if they have a veteran quarterback kind of managing this, I think they can be a very competitive team. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they're going to the playoffs. But I think that they could be right in that mix to win, you know, 6-7 games for sure.
You want Jake Browning?
I would. I don't know if they do. I mean, that's somebody I'd be interested in. I mean, look, my plan was to trade the first pick and sign Malik Willis. Uh-huh. Like, that's what I would have done if I was running this team. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure, I think, to take Mendoza as well. So I'd look at somebody like that. I would bring somebody like that in for sure. to try to, you know, try to hold things down for a while you're waiting for Mendoza to be ready. But look, he could also come in and we could be wrong and he could blow everybody away and start day one. I think that changes the equation a little bit, but I think they're making a lot of really good decisions. They're not hitting home runs necessarily, mm-hmm. a lot of singles and doubles. And obviously the Linderbaum move was a big one. They paid a lot of money, but that's a big move. They're just doing a lot of the right things.
You can follow Adam on X. He's at Adam Hill, LVRJ. He's on the Progressive Guest Line. So you go to a lot of these different conference tournaments in the next, you know, 5-6 days out here in Las Vegas. Have you noticed a number on the board for any of these teams involved out of any of these conferences that's like, that's a nice enough number. I can see them going on a run and maybe winning it.
So I know I'm a little bit biased here, Mitch, being in Vegas, being a UNLV alum. But UNLV is one of the most fascinating teams in the country. And yes. You know, people that are here have seen this. People around the country, you may not know. You look at the record and say, oh, they're not very good. Like, they have 4 Quad 1 wins. That's crazy. That's up there with some of these teams that are, you know, going to be high seeds in the tournament. It's really impressive that they've done that. They get up to the competition for sure. And they're playing their best basketball of the year right now. They've got, you know, a couple of guys in Dre Gibbs, Longhorn, and Tyron Jones who are as good as anybody in this conference. Obviously, the conference tournament is on their home floor. Like, UNLV could absolutely go on a run. Also, they have swept Utah State, who's at the top of the conference. They just match up really well with them. They blew them out not too long ago. So that's a team that I think, you know, not many people expect maybe around the country could make a run. But I think they're certainly capable of it.
How about in the West Coast? You get a couple of games tonight, a big one with St. Mary's taking on Santa Clara. Can either one of those teams knock off Gonzaga, you think?
Yeah, Santa Clara would be the only one that I would, you know, take a shot. I mean, like, St. Mary's for sure. St. Mary's is up there. But, sorry, I'm making sure. Sorry, phone's ringing. I'm making sure it's not an agent. figure there's like another 9th and 10th signing of the day coming for the Raiders. I think Santa Clara is the kind of team that could challenge one or the other. The problem is trying to win 2 games in 2 days against, you know, beating St. Mary's and then beating Gonzaga. That's a team that I think is really, really quality. I think they could absolutely give St. Mary's a run for their money. St. Mary's could certainly do that to Gonzaga too. Gonzaga's loaded. But I just, I'm so scared of both those teams that I just don't think you can find a, one of the longer shots on, you know, obviously, Santa Clara would be the only one to even think about. I just don't know that they could win 2 games in 2 days against those teams.
Yeah. If I made the top 4 teams that we think are going to get 1 seeds at this point, Duke, Michigan, Arizona, and Florida, -$2 versus the field, and the take back, I'll give you +175 on the field. What would you do with that?
I hate answering this question because ordinarily I would say it's so easy to take the field, but those teams are so good.
Yep.
Like I almost have to do it. I would love to try to find a way to not do it, but I just think, I mean, I was just talking to somebody yesterday and like, this isn't going to happen because we're not this lucky, but could you imagine if those 4 were the final 4? Like, it would be the greatest Final Four we've ever experienced.
Well, I mean, it'd be, last year. I mean, with the how it played out last year overall.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I would love to see that. Obviously, you know, I mentioned being biased as a UNLV guy. I'm from Ann Arbor, so I'd love to see Michigan. I think they're really good. But I want those teams to make it through because I would just love to see those 4 teams match up. And what I watched Michigan do here in Las Vegas and that Players Era Festival at the beginning of the season, I've never seen a team just run through good competition like they did. That was one of the most impressive, you know, multiple-day performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, beating everybody by 30, 40 points. Yeah. Games are over with 10 minutes in.
They made it not fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was supposed to be the best tournament we've ever seen in the season. It wasn't fun because of Michigan being so good.
Yeah. No, and it feels like that's 10 years ago, but it really was only like 3 months, so... again, follow Adam on X. He's at Adam Hill, LVRJ. Thanks for the time, man. Enjoy all these tournaments.
Sounds good. I'm sure the Raiders are going to sign 4 more people by the time your show's over.
Probably true, yes.
Yeah.
Join us on the Progressive Guest Line. He covers all the sports for the Review Journal out here in town.
Gave him a good grade. It shouldn't be a problem. You got to pick up the phone and listen. It shouldn't be a problem to find one team that falls in love with Mendoza. And if you get that crazy offer, it's a game changer.
Yep. In-pocket plays coming up and more numbers to suggest why the big tournament could be very chalky again this year.
algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're out.
28-24 Monmouth. 3 minutes till half. Semis of the CAA. See if they can get it done. And that bracket is completely opened up. The 1 and 2 seeds got embarrassed. Has that ever happened? A 2 seed was down 30 and a 1 seed was down 20. Incredible. It didn't win last night, but it did Friday, so the streak comes to an end. But Oilers' first period over and game over cashed Friday. That was 12 straight overs for Edmonton. They won 4-2 out here last night, so it stayed under. Ohio plus 5.5, winner. Miami of Ohio, alligator blood. They just find a way to get it done, man. They win again. What a game. Overtime, phenomenal. The shot making. And I forgot it was such a rivalry. How about the guys coming off the bench from Miami O? Double barrel middle fingers.
How good is that?
And then they're throwing stuff at him.
Oh, yeah.
And the star players, colorful language. They got to cover up his face on ESPN for what he's saying. Incredible.
Pretty heated, I'd say.
Oh,
huh?
It was something. Yeah. So that's a 3-0 and then a loser. This Sheffield Wednesday lost, but they covered. 2-1 Derby County. Your parody account has been doing the rollover against these guys. They've lost 13 in a row. As we've had several guests mention, they won't win another game the rest of the season.
Oh, is that right?
He's betting against them and rolling it over every single time, which that's pretty good.
Do you know how many games now for him?
I don't know.
He's actually here right now. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's see what he says. They've lost 13 in a row, and I don't think they win another game, and 9 of them, they've been shut out. They lost 2-1, though, on Saturday. Okay, shop this. It was yesterday at DK. It was 75-1. It's now 60. They're as low as 25 here. Adam Hill just made the case. UNLV is in the 8-9 game Wednesday afternoon out here. If they win, they get the 1 seed Utah State, who they swept and just beat by 27 last week. They're live. They can do this. And as Adam said, they play up to the level of competition. And like Massaro says, sometimes I want to monetize the ticket. You get into the semis or make the final, you're cooking with Crisco. McNeese to win the Southland. It's on their home floor.
This is very key here.
Shop that. And they have a buy into the semis.
You have to shop this. You got minus 105.
Yeah.
I grabbed plus 120. It's minus 150 now in some spots.
Yep.
So they're continuing to take money or books are adjusting accordingly.
Western Kentucky to win Conference USA. It's unfortunate we're no longer in the football stadium and playing two games at the same time, separated by the curtain. But they are 7-1, and they beat the 1 seed Liberty and blew them out on the road a couple weeks ago. Dayton to win the A-10 plus 750. Could get St. Louis in the semis for a right to make the final. They just blasted St. Louis last week. Akron to win the MAC, $1.15.
That's a good number.
Ken Palm's numbers, they are 30 spots better than Miami of Ohio. They lost one game in league. It was to Miami of Ohio on the road. And with their right down the street, the conference tournament, they're favored in that game in the championship. Not to mention, Miami of Ohio knows they're already in. Akron would need it for, like, blood. Clippers to make the playoffs, minus 110. I'm very strong that they will have a better record than the Golden State Warriors. That means I will have 2 chances to win 1 game and get me in the playoffs. I'll probably play the Suns in the 7-8 if I win in. If I lose, I get a do-over. And this was a good tweet today at VSiN Insights. The Rangers have played a ton of high-scoring games. They make the Ian Duncan, Chris Otto list for goal in the first 10 on a lot of spots. 4 of the last 5 been explosive games between the Rangers and Flyers. Over 5.5 tonight in hockey. Okay.
You like Paulie? Rough weekend here for yours truly. Did not go well. Saturday morning was hopefully the worst weekend I'm going to have the entire year.
Oh, come on. Rory with the lifting weights before the third round?
Yeah, gave back a bunch of units. March was off to a great start. Bye-bye. That's because I had Rory every which way but loose, including 2 units on him to finish top 10 at plus 105. he was going to finish top 10. He had a great day on Friday. He was sitting at four under, not that far back. He was tied for ninth. He was going to withdraw.
Were you pissed? It's like, what are you lifting weights for? You get up early for a Saturday tea time. What do you got to get a workout in?
Well, that's the way the day was going, because at the same time, I had two units on Missouri against Arkansas, because I knew that Acuff was not going to play. I had the minus 108. They went off as a 3.5-point favorite. I had like 60 cents of CLV on that and 3.5 points.
Info. Good source.
And
did you have the Dober news?
Yeah, you hello? You're the one who texted me on it. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway,
help out.
Those were all losses on Saturday.
I got to tell you a story about that.
And with no Brown, Miami got it done against Miami. So Saturday morning and early afternoon was absolutely terrible. Pending that we have. Will plays tonight. Hofstra -3.5, -109. Bet that at the Westgate against Towson. That number's moved up 0.5 now to 4. I got a parlay here. Duke to win the ACC. Florida to win the SEC at -103. And Merrimack is pending at 3-1 to win the MAAC. This is tomorrow night. Let's go out and win both bets. Take Siena +3.5. Let's have a Merrimack win by 1, 2, or 3 points, and we'll be dancing. And then some of the other pending stuff, teams to make the Final Four. There's Merrimack and the Dominican Republic to win the World Baseball Classic at +460.
Luke forgot one, but the game's tomorrow. But I'll mention it here. We have the scenario tomorrow. Long Island plays Mercyhurst.
That's right.
Long Island's already in. Mercyhurst is ineligible. I took 5.5. Number one, Long Island's already in and celebrating. Number two, Steve Mackinnon. Northeast Conference title games. The dog is 16-3 ATS, 13 outright wins, including St. Francis last year, catching 11.5, one outright.
Wow,
that is money. So I'll take the team that they, this is our Super Bowl, Mercyhurst. All right, show brought to you by ProfitX, home of the King of March. Everyone else is stressing over their bracket. You could be winning a free trip worth up to 10 Gs, 10 pregame spreads or totals across the 67 March Madness games. Hit your volume goal. Flights, hotels, wherever you want to go, covered. Sign up, ProfitX, code VSINMM. VSINMM. Win 10, hit the volume, earn your shot. King of March, only on ProfitX. Fantastic. 10 plays, win 10 Gs. Get up there, ProfitX. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to run this down real quick.
Yeah.
Why, again, it could be very chalky this March into the tournament. This is a good tweet from Josh Dubow. Duke was +334. In conference play, Florida +306, Michigan +301. That's the margin of victory in conference play. They all outscored their opponents by 300-plus points. In the previous 20 years, only four major conference teams did that. Duke last year, both Arizona and Kentucky in 2015, and Florida in 2013. That's how difficult it is to do. Only four times last 20 years, and we have three teams that fit that this year. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe we talked about that earlier, and do you concur? Is Jay Williams right? Cinderella is completely dead.
Yep. We'll revisit that. An integrity alert was issued for the Dober fight. Johnson was -150. Dober closed -220. A friend of a friend knows a traitor. 40,000, 11 a.m. 20,000 on the strip. 20,000 on the strip. 10,000 by a female. No betting history. It wouldn't stop. One-way action. Numerous books in Las Vegas took it off the board. It was so outrageous that people I know in Las Vegas were calling people that I know in Dallas saying, can you get down for me? They're like, what? What are you talking about?
Because it was off the board here.
It's off the board here. Can you bet this UFC fight, quote, this guy isn't losing, was uttered by multiple people.
Wow.
What Massaro referred to was stuff on X with this kidnapping, and his nephew or niece was kidnapped. He's got to lose in the second round by knockout. Massaro mentioned how he all of a sudden dropped his hands and got knocked out in the second round, and Dober cashed there. So I don't know. That's what happened. I'm not going to use the F word. But another thing that's happened numerous times is a fighter has been injured in camp. and word leaks out, and then it's just nonstop because the guy's not going to pull out of the fight. He goes in compromise, and that's all she wrote. But
I thought
that was
we could
another
say,
one.
I thought we're allowed to say the F word on the air now.
Yeah.
Or is that just Stormy getting away with the seven deadly? What was the George Carlin bit?
Yeah, seven deadly words.
Yeah, right. All right.
It's a good one.
Great job, everybody, behind the glass today. Stay tuned, VSiN Primetime. Next, they're going to take you through the entire live betting night. Tonight, college basketball, NBA. Dustin's going to do that tonight as well because he's got late night tourney games going on, cashing out at 11 o'clock Eastern. Good luck with your bets.